little bit more than mid screen, pop them up, shield slash, pop them up again, shield slash, charge star.
Vegeta, what does the scouter say about his power level? It's episode 154 of the Two Shots of Games, Shot of Games podcast. I definitely said Two Shots of Games, didn't I? Yeah, I think I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's okay. Nobody's really that literate in here.
It's only just you and I right now, so... What are you trying to say, Wayne?
I don't know, and I'm a writer. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Well, I don't think any of us really knows what's ever going on.
Oh.
But anyway, yes, welcome back to the Shots of Games podcast, episode 154. There hasn't been actually too much this week in terms of big news.
A little bit, but not much.
We got some little tidbits here and there and some stuff to talk about. But before we get into any of that...
Games
and more games. Wayne, what you been up to, playing, doing stuff?
Well, now that you put it that way, I have been playing Wolfenstein the Old Blood. Continuing on that one. I actually beat the game the other night. Or was that last week? I don't recall. But I've been going back through it, trying to get more of the secrets, the secret areas, the nightmare levels. The nightmare levels are fun because you get to play the old Wolfenstein 3D inside the new game. Trying to find all the gold and all that stuff that's hidden around there too. It's fun. I'm really enjoying it. Still got a bunch of achievements to do and so forth. Other than that, not a whole lot else. Still doing Transformers Rising. I just got Rodimus Prime in my deck. Trying to build him up, see if he's useful. Same thing with Ratchet. I've got him now, so I got a healer to work alongside Soundwave, actually, as my other healer. Transformers Battle Tactics, which is getting kind of to the point where it feels a little rushed. We finished an event just this past week, and within 24 hours it started up a new event. Barely enough time for us to really catch our breath and see what we earned and try leveling things up before the new event started. I think it's kind of rushed on that part. Mm. But and then Avengers Alliance, I beat the special ops for Ultron, so I've been trying to check in at least once a day to bring up my level and so forth, but not really playing a lot of it until the next event starts, which is today, so I'll be hopping on later for the PvP 21, Season 21.
Nice.
See how that goes. I'm not really a big player on the player versus player options on that game, but I do play it if there's good enough rewards in it. Especially when it comes to, because when you play, if you win 5 battles, you usually get a spin for a prize. So if there's good enough prizes in that spin, or if you get a good enough prize after, for each win, it's worth doing it. Unfortunately, it's very hard to rank high enough to actually get anything from the actual ranking in the player versus player. So, even though I'm a almost maxed out character player, Yeah. So other than that, I'm still working on my class. I'm really enjoying the teachings for superheroes and comic books and pop culture.
Yeah.
And it's really been it's really I have to say it's fun. It's challenging. The whole part of the homework, which is to build my own.
Superhero. Yeah, Mimi was telling me about that, actually.
Yeah.
She's been looking up some different idols and stuff like that, and, like, different cultures, trying to come up with a hero with that.
Yeah, the goal is to base your hero off of a deity of some sort. A god, deity, person of influence from the past. That doesn't mean you have to, but that's...
It's a good basis.
It's a good basis. I took mine and based it off of somebody that was very close to me that went through some hardship in the years ago as part of the main basis, but also I'm using one of the gods from Japan, which from what I understand is more of a kind of a god of an wisdom or intelligence.
Oh, okay.
So I kind of feel that kind of fits in with my character. So, but I can't divulge too much because it may become a comic book someday.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh. Okay. Wishful thinking.
Yeah, maybe.
That's not very silent. Just kicked into high gear.
Yeah, but it is deadly.
Oh, absolutely deadly. Well, as you guys didn't know before I talk about whatever I've been doing, we are recording this finally on the brand new desktop that Wayne has been building. Yeah. So this thing is beastly. It is huge to start.
I actually measured it. It's 5 inches taller than the old one here, and 3 inches wider.
So what are the actual measurements? Because it's huge.
It's like 55 tall by 25 wide. Man. Inches or some of that.
20, that's like an inch more than 2 feet.
Is it? Or was that?
12 inches is a foot.
Something like that. I don't know. Whatever the ruler said it was.
This looks like it'd be about a foot wide.
Yeah.
A standard kitchen tile is 12 feet usually.
Yeah.
So, but it's massive and it packs a wallop, man. So what are the specs on this thing again?
Core i7. Radeon R9 270, 24 gigs RAM, solid state drive for the OS, and multiple other hard drives for storage.
Yeah, you'd estimate how many terabytes of memory do you have, or space do you have for this thing?
Well, just on this machine alone, I've probably got access to well over 10-11 gigs.
10-11 gigs?
Terabytes.
That's a 10 or 11 terabytes. That's a lot.
Yeah.
And we were playing, what, Serious Sam 3?
Yep.
Is that what we were playing right before this?
And all on Ultra.
Everything on Ultra, not a single FPS drop. I want to play Skyrim on this. I really do. I would max out the crap out of Skyrim. Everything. 4K textures, mod the crap out of it. Oh, man, I would go nuts.
Yeah. I got to get a Tomb Raider downloaded on this machine so I can run that one out there.
And that would probably be one of the most glorious games you will ever play.
Yeah.
But, enough about that. This thing is really nice, though.
Yeah.
As for myself, I haven't really been playing much. Didn't play too much Skyrim. I've actually been very, very busy with work this week. A lot of late days at work and just very tired when I get home, so I haven't really been playing much. Jumped on Skyrim a little bit today for maybe about an hour or so. Not too much. Mortal Kombat 10. Yes, Mortal Kombat X. I did buy that last weekend. And I've been playing that this week.
Nice.
I've been playing online. If you guys want to challenge me, I'm always open for challenges. I'm on the PS4. PSN ID is Blaze4489. That's capital B, capital Z. Blaze4489. And I'm always up for challenges. I mean, if you're a tournament player and you like to corner rape people, I do not condone rape of any sort, especially corner rape. Not very friendly, not very pleasant. I've had a couple fighters like that online. Yeah. It's not really fun for anybody. But hey, whatever wins, right?
Hey.
But yeah, so I've been playing some Mortal Kombat X. Beat the story mode twice already. Pretty much 2 days in a row, beat the game twice. Interesting. Other than that, yeah, that's basically it. Some phone games. I actually haven't played Future Fight at all this week. That's a lie. I did play it yesterday. I played the arena, so it was pretty much PvP. Just for a little bit. And then I got the Mortal Kombat X app on my phone. And, which is pretty cool because it actually links up with your console and unlocks different things.
Yeah, nice.
In both versions. But so I was definitely playing some of that. I got the Dominations, which is a game that a buddy of mine told me about. It sounded pretty interesting, so I decided to check it out, and I've been hooked since. A lot of fun. It kind of reminds me of Backyard Monsters from back in the day on the Facebook game. Kind of reminds me of that. You build your place. But yeah.
Okay.
Alright, that's just about it.
You know, I did forget that I've been playing Trivia Crack quite religiously, it seems, when I'm at work. What can I say? It's a fun game, it's challenging, you know. I like the quizzing kind of games.
Yeah. Alright. Well, I think that's about it for that. Let's get into some of this news here.
Alright, well, I'll let you take this first one here.
Alright. You guys did cover this last week?
We covered a little bit of this, but this is a little bit more information on it.
Okay, well, in case you guys didn't know or didn't listen to the last podcast, Nintendo announced that they want to do something big, something huge. So what they're doing is they're bringing back the Nintendo World Championships, which hasn't been around for 25 years. That is huge. The last one was in 1991.
Yeah.
For those of you who are old enough to know it, that is cool. For those of you who don't, look it up, because it is awesome. And they're going to be doing something like that now. So how to compete in the first World Championships in 25 years. The competition will be held using the 3DS and using the Ultimate NES Remix. So, the Competitive Gaming World Championship event will return this year at E3, and anyone can take part in the qualifiers. Now, we know the 8 Best Buy stores across the United States that will host the preliminary tournaments. The qualifying events will be held on May 30th at the Best Buy stores listed, which I'll list off in a bit, from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. local time. So whatever store it is, whatever the local time is for that store. Registration begins at 9 a.m. And each tournament will be capped at 750 contestants.
Ooh,
yeah, so
a lot of people.
Eight stores, 750 contestants. That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Now, the gamers are going to play the NES, the Ultimate NES Remix for the Nintendo 3DS. And they're going to be using its championship mode. And they'll be able to participate in a series of score-based challenges for Super Mario Bros., Super Mario Bros. 3, and Dr. Mario.
Wow.
Now, competitors aren't going to be able to bring their 3DS or a copy of Ultimate NES Remix. They won't need to. However, as Best Buy will have games and systems on hand at each of the tournaments. Now, the person with the top score for each of the 8 regional qualifiers will advance to the Nintendo World Championships in L.A. There, they'll go head-to-head in a multi-round competition featuring a variety of Nintendo games, though the games weren't exactly named outright. Joining the 8 regional winners at the finals will be an additional 8 players chosen by Nintendo. Now, the company says it will reveal these players in the near future. You know who's really stoked about this? Think back. The old wizard.
I'm lost.
Power Glove Wizard?
Oh, no? Okay.
Way back in the old movie.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the Nintendo World Championships 2015 is just going to be one part in Nintendo's E3 2015 plans, and they will host its digital event on June 16th, while also teamed up with Best Buy to let the shoppers play Mario Maker for the Wii U ahead of its release time. Now, the participating stores are San Francisco, California, which is 1717 Harrison Street, Torrance, California, 3675 Pacific Coast Highway.
That's the closest to us.
Yeah, that actually is. That's very close. Miami, Florida, which is 10760 Southwest 17th Street. Schaumburg, Illinois, 900 East Golf Road. Maple Grove, Minnesota, 12905 Elm Creek Boulevard North. Long Island City, New York, 5001 Northern Boulevard. Dallas, Texas, 9378 North Central Expressway. And Tacoma, Washington, 2214 South 48th Street. Now, if you live anywhere near those areas, even if you don't and you want to commute to those areas, by all means, definitely do so. This is going to be a huge, huge event.
Yeah.
And like I said, registration begins at 9 a.m. local time.
Be there by 6.
You're going to want to be there really early. And they'll be starting on May 30th. Yeah. Competition will be from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. local time.
Yeah.
And first 750 people to register get to play. And that's it for that.
All right. So let's see what else we got here. Because there was a lot of stuff I picked up today.
There
is, huh? So Valve has recently trademarked the name Chaperone. What we know about Chaperone is that it has something to do with virtual reality. We don't know exactly what it is. We just know that it has to do with something with virtual reality, including hardware and software, sensors and beacons for the detection and measurement of physical objects and the representation of such objects in virtual reality environments. It also covers electronic apparatus for the detection and measurement of physical objects and the representation of such objects in virtual reality environments.
You might want to break that down into actual English, please.
Virtual reality.
VR.
Yeah.
Cool.
So it's probably going to be related to the Vive VR headset, which Valve is working on.
Which is supposed to be like a Valve's answer to the Oculus Rift.
Yeah, and they're working with HTC to develop it, apparently. So it's going to be very interesting to see what this means in the future. But hey, you know, at least we got a little bit of tidbit there, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I'm be pretty interested in it. I really like virtual reality, and I kind of want to get more into it.
Yeah. Meanwhile, we had another update for the Windows 10, preview, per se. What we got is some more Xbox interaction. So, let's see, what was it? I'm trying to remember where I got lost here. Basically, we got some new features that kind of make it work more with what you see on the actual Xbox on your PC through the Xbox app. We still don't have the streaming option. We expect that to come later on. We also have a couple other things coming to the Xbox that I'll get to in a little bit here. So we're expecting, you know, of course, the streaming your games to your Windows 10 PC, cross-platforming play, all that becoming close to when the Windows 10 launches sometime this summer. No actual release date yet, but as for someone who's actually been playing with Windows 10, it's going to be a solid machine, solid system. Nice. I'm really looking forward to a final release.
That's real.
Speaking of Xbox One, we also get our
Over-air TV tuner.
Yeah.
Basically, you turn your Xbox One into an old-fashioned TV set.
Basically, yeah. So you get the advantage of bringing an over-the-air TV through your Xbox One instead of cable. Not everybody has cable. Not everybody wants cable.
It's true.
Most of us don't want to pay for cable.
I definitely don't.
The nice thing is the Xbox One already has a TV guide option that allow you to see what shows are on and so forth and, you know, things like that. You'll also be able to skip ahead on shows. What we don't have yet is the ability to record TV shows on the Xbox One, although we are expecting Microsoft to announce something like that in the future. We don't have any confirmation on that, but it's looking like Microsoft will be doing that.
Hmm.
I'm excited.
But now, do you think it's a good move? Do you think it's a necessary item?
Well, here's the way I look at it. When Windows 10 comes out, we'll lose Windows Media Center on the PC side, which means we no longer have a native TV app and recording app on our PCs.
Yeah.
So unless you keep your current version of Windows, which is not a bad thing to do, Windows 7 is going to be around for a while, or Windows 8 if you have Media Center on Windows 8, but, you know, if they add the recording option to your Xbox, well, guess what? You don't even need to worry about your PC being on all the time to do that.
Mm.
Yeah, your Xbox is already going to be in standby mode anyways, and it's well more than capable of handling it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, I guess that could work out pretty well.
And also of note is that the manufacturer of the device is Hapag, who has a long history of making making digital tuner devices for your PC. So Microsoft went to them to develop one. It's actually very similar to one I already have, but the firmware is a little bit different, unfortunately.
Mm.
It only costs $60, though.
Ah.
So that's not bad.
Yeah, I guess if you consider what it can do.
Yeah.
Now, I guess we're all pretty familiar with Namco. You know, Tekken.
Yeah.
They're pretty big. But Namco also owns someone who's been around for quite some time. Talk about like mid-80s.
Yeah.
Been around for quite some time. Well, happy 35th birthday to Pac-Man.
Yep.
Pac-Man mobile games are updated, and they plan for a huge birthday bash in Chicago. And, yeah, what is this Pac-Man rebooted? Well, the original Pac-Man was released in the Japanese arcades back in 1980, meaning the iconic ghost shopping fruit eating maze running game turns 35 years old later this week.
Or today for us, actually.
Yeah, actually, there it is. Yeah, May 22nd, huh? Publisher Bandai Namco is starting its birthday festivities a little early and updating the mobile versions of Pac-Man and Pac-Man Lite and revealing plans for a huge party in Chicago later on in this week. Yeah. Now, Pac-Man, which you can get for $7, and Pac-Man Lite, which is free, have been updated with a classic-themed user interface. Now, as for the big birthday bash, it will take place, well, today, the day that we're recording, May 22nd, at Namco's epic-looking level 257 Pac-Man restaurant. Now, level 257, that was the glitch level, wasn't it?
I think so.
So, in case you guys didn't know, Pac-Man, you pretty much played through various levels of higher increasing difficulty until you reached level 257. And that was pretty much the end of the RAM for the game. So yeah. You reached 257 and you were unable, it's impossible to beat, the whole game would crash. So 257 has become kind of a cult icon where very few people ever get to make it to 257. And those who do are rewarded with a nice, lovely, glitchy crash. But anyway, they have a restaurant themed after level 257. And in Chicago, the number of the industry VIPs will be on hand at the event, including the creator, Professor Toru Iwatani, and the world record holder, Billy Mitchell. I believe he's the first person to ever reach 257, wasn't he?
I believe so, yeah.
He might have been. Correct me if I'm wrong in the comments below, but I'm pretty sure he was the guy. Now, attendees will also be able to enjoy free bowling and arcade games, and they'll also be among the first to play the unreleased mobile game based on the Adam Sandler movie Pixels, which prominently features Pac-Man.
Oh yeah, I can't wait to watch that.
It looks interesting, not gonna lie. Even more, the official invitation mentions a Pac-Man rebooted game which could be announced during the event. However, no other details about the game were provided. Yeah. Now, general admission tickets are free through Eventbrite. And while you can also buy a VIP pass for $35, this premium package comes with drinks, food, and a meet and greet with Iwatani and Mitchell.
Not bad.
Yeah, man.
Just hope nobody loses a hand.
Oh, jeez. Especially Professor Iwatani.
Yeah.
In case you guys didn't know what that was, reference to Pixels.
Yeah.
You should look it up, YouTube it.
So, Phil Spencer of Xbox has recently come out saying there are a lot of 360 games he'd like to bring to Xbox One, but only so much time and, you know, to do so, and they want to focus on making new games. It's not an easy trade-off. So that doesn't mean necessarily that they're going to be bringing a lot more games, but they are looking at bringing other games into the Xbox One. They're still looking into the possibility of doing, you know, some kind of a backwards compatibility, maybe a, like a streaming on demand kind of thing. Mm. But hey, you know, they're one of big focuses to come out with new titles, new games, which really is what we really need is new top tier games.
Yeah, of course.
So
now Nintendo has made a pretty unexpected move in my opinion, where they began ceasing production on the basic model Wii U. Now that only happened in Japan, and they don't have any plans to do that here in the West. However, the white console will no longer be available for much longer in Japan. They announced they'll no longer sell the 8GB Wii U in Japan, and according to Nintendo Everything's translation of what happened, is of what the announcement was, the website states the basic white model is slated to go out of production very shortly, which means only the black 32GB model will be available to purchase.
Yeah.
Now, because of Nintendo's commitment to continuing shipping for the Wii U basic model across Western territories like the US, it's unlikely that production has completely ceased.
Yeah.
So, Nintendo spokesperson said it currently has no plans to discontinue the 8GB outside of Japan. Now, in March, they announced its next generation games system is codenamed NX. And the company CEO, Satoru Iwata, stated that the NX represents a brand new concept, which isn't very, it's not very far-fetched for Nintendo.
Yeah.
But didn't go into detail about what that means. Now, more recently, he clarified that the NX is not intended to be a replacement for the Wii U or 3DS.
Yeah.
Though, I cannot confirm when it will be launched or any of the details of the system, since I have confirmed that it will be a dedicated video game platform with a brand new concept. It should mean that we do not intend it to become a simple replacement for Nintendo 3DS or Wii U, as explained by Mr. Iwata in Nintendo's latest earnings report. Now, they said it will not reveal any new information or show the NX at E3 2015, as it's not planning on taking specifics about the NX or talking about specifics about the NX until next year, 2016.
This is what I see what's going on here. They're slowing down production of the 8GB model, probably because, you know, quite honestly, it doesn't sell as well as 32GB.
Yeah, there's no point for the 8GB,
yeah.
Honestly. 8GB isn't really all that much.
No, that's the main reason right there. The other reason is they're going to be getting ready to start ramping up production of the new NX at some point here, so they're going to need the assembly lines ready for that.
Yep.
So, it's a good trade-off right there, if you ask me.
Honestly, I think it was a brilliant move.
Yep.
But then again, I might be a little biased, because I think Nintendo can really do no wrong. We all know every game company can do wrong. But,
well, we got Pokemon.
Yeah, we got some Pokemon news. If you're familiar with Pokemon, which I'm pretty sure anybody listening to this podcast right now has played Pokemon or watched Pokemon or known about Pokemon at some point in their lifetime. Unless you're not living. Which case, I would like to meet you because you're a very interesting specimen.
Ooh.
But Nintendo has announced the Pokemon spin-off Mystery Dungeon sold 13 million copies, and they revealed a new game.
Yeah.
This new game is called Pokemon Super Mystery Dungeon. Big surprise. But anyway, they announced this on Thursday.
Yeah.
The Pokemon Super Mystery Dungeon, the next entry in the turn-based Pokemon spin-off series for the 3DS. Now, the details of the game right now are kind of light, but it appears it isn't deviating too much from the core series. And
just greater randomly generated dungeons.
Yeah, pretty much. And they did confirm that in a very brief announcement. It said, greater randomly generated dungeons, as you said. They'll do battle with the help of legendary and mythical Pokemon in their efforts to save the world in a sweeping tale of adventure and mystery.
It could be fun.
Now, Super Mystery Dungeon will launch for the 3DS in North America sometime this winter. Now, it's a bit of ways away.
Yeah.
You know, we're only halfway through 2016. Almost halfway through.
I'm not too worried about it. I'm sure Mimi will pick it up.
She might. She's a little mad that she lost her last Mystery Dungeon game.
Oh.
It's with her Kingdom Hearts Dream Drop Distance.
Oh.
Which she's also very upset about that as well.
Oh, that hurts.
Yeah. Now, it's all you, bud.
Yeah, well, back to the Windows 10 Xbox app. The new features that I mentioned that I kind of lost. They're right here. We got the... We got new game DVR options. We've got the game hubs. Basically, that's what we got. We've got... what we got here? The game DVR, which was just added. We've got... You know, you can call them open keyboard shortcuts of your choosing. You can also set up customized shortcuts for specific game DVR features, like taking screenshots or recording gameplay. That's basically what it was. I think Jesse wants to talk about a mouse pad here.
Do I really want to talk about a mouse pad?
I think so.
Maybe I do. It's a very expensive mouse pad.
Yeah.
Okay. This mouse pad costs $60 and it needs to be plugged in to work. Sounds really unnecessary, but it is a Razer mouse pad, and they revealed a new hard gaming mouse pad with lights that can sync with your other devices. Now, they announced that the new premium mouse pad will need to be plugged in to fully function, as it comes equipped with LEDs along three of its sides, pretty much the front and both sides. The back has the plug, so what's the point of putting lights back there?
Yeah.
There isn't. But it's called the Razer Firefly, and it's a hard gaming mouse mat, and it features customizable lights along the left, right, and bottom borders, The Firefly uses the same chroma lighting features seen in a handful of other Razer devices that allow them to sync up with each other.
Yeah, it's a nice looking device.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So if you're a huge fan of Razer peripherals like mouse pads, game pads, or I'm sorry, you know, competitive mice, whatever that is. I would know plural for mouse is mice, but I don't know if you should call this a mouse, whatever.
Yeah. Call it a Fireflies.
There you go.
Oh.
If you're familiar with Razer in general, they're really big in the gaming community. They make some really good peripherals.
I guess the big thing here is focusing on this is a true gaming mouse. You know, this is going to be something that's going to perform well for your gaming mouse if you actually have a gaming mouse. If you don't have a gaming mouse, it's probably not worth it well for you. The LEDs, you actually have 16.8 million color options.
Oh,
and they are optimized reflective surface, ensuring your mouse movements translate precise cursor movements.
And rapid in-game responsiveness.
Yeah. So
now, the measurements for the pad is approximately 14 inches by 10 inches, and it's about 0.16 inches thick. So it's actually very, very thin. Now, for those of you who like metric, it's 355 millimeters by 255 millimeters by 4 millimeters. So, still very, very thin. 4 millimeters is not all that much. It weighs just under a pound, which is a lot for a mouse pad, and comes with 7-foot USB cable for powering the lights. And it's set for release this coming month in June.
Yep. So an idea of how this could sync up with your game is, say you die, your mouse pad could flash in red. Ooh.
That's
creepy.
Unnecessary. But interesting.
Yeah.
Now,
what about the player?
The player. Okay. Now, we all know E3's coming up, right? So
I think so.
What's the most logical thing for Sony to do? If you said wait till E3 to start releasing some stuff, you're out of your mind. Ahead of E3, Sony trademarks the player for a game and TV show. Now, next month is E3, and ahead of time, Sony filed a new trademarks application for something called the Player. And it's the company made the file on May 18th with the United States Patent and Trademark Office. The trademark application is registered to Sony Pictures Television, but also appears to be tied to gaming. Now, it covers two goods or services, the first of which is downloadable electronic game software, video game software, while the second specifically mentions entertainment services in the nature of a dramatic television series. Sounds a lot like, what was that one game? Defiance? That was a video game tied to a TV show?
Yeah, well, there's been a few of them that I've tried that.
I think Defiance was the first one that actually did it successfully.
Yeah.
But, other than that, no other information about the player is available in any of the filing, though the document does include the image, which you can see floating around the internet. And what does the image look like?
That's basically just a...
That's just a white PS4, dude.
No, this. I don't think that's a PS4. That looks more like
it's a PS4.
It's molding is kind of off. I think that's a cake.
Is that a cake? That better not be a cake. I'm gonna be mad.
That looks like a cake to me, because the molding is... If you look at the corner of the it's bent there, and the coloring is different.
The controller looks really bulky.
Yeah.
I think it might be a cake.
The cake is a lie.
Stop that.
So something else that's popping up is that many people in the industry are coming together saying the way we get the free-to-play games may be changing. We may be going to a model called view-to-play games next. Apparently that's the goal of a new Finnish studio called Future Play Games, which is staffed by former Electronic Arts, Remedy, and Rovio veterans. The team defines view-to-play as entertainment with a natural integration of broadly accessible gameplay and ad-based monetization. Definition is obviously not very catchy, but it's, you know, view-to-play. Yeah. The Future Play founder, Jamie Laz, former executive vice president at Angry Birds developer Rovio, said view-to-play has the potential to revolutionize the mobile market. It's faster, cheaper, and more fun to watch an ad than pay for an in-app purchase.
Now, we've all heard that before. It can revolutionize mobile gaming.
Yeah, so.
But while some things have revolutionized mobile gaming, my personal opinion, being a console player, is mobile gaming is still inferior to hardcore mobile games or hardcore console games.
Yeah.
Even casual console games, they're just dedicated. They're more dedicated than mobile games. Mobile games, you know, they've always got something you got to pay for.
Yeah.
It's very rare that you get a mobile game that you don't have to pay any extra money other than to possibly even buy the game.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, there's some kind of ad somewhere in there or something. You got to buy this to continue, buy this to enhance your gameplay. It pretty much is very DLC heavy. And we all know the DLC.
If you can call it DLC.
Yeah, pretty much. But I mean, for lack of a better term. But it's just, I don't know, man. It just seems like it's just. Yeah.
Well, it's like on the Transformers Battle Tactics. There's a couple of different things on the space bridge where I can either get, you know, like once a day or every so many hours, I can get a free Energon cube or a free, you know, space bridge spin. But if I'd like, I can use a skip button to watch a video for 30 seconds or sometimes 5 minutes, depending on the advertisement. And when that ends, it skips me ahead a little bit of time. And if I do that enough, I can, you know, get you know, my stuff quicker. But it's a, you know, you have to watch these annoying advertisements. Otherwise, in news, we also, for Street Fighter, Ultimate Street Fighter 4, on the PS4, it will support the PS3 arcade sticks.
That's some pretty good news for those competitive players that put a great deal of money or a butt ton of money into PS3 arcade sticks.
Oh, yeah.
Especially some of those more competitive game sticks, it can be a pretty penny.
Yeah, so this was posted on the European PlayStation blog that Sony's Director of Third-Party Productions, Gio Corsi, confirmed the compatibility drivers, which were created by Skullgirls developer LabZero, had been included.
Nice.
So, I think that's all we really need to know there, is we do have access to that. We do know that it'll also run at 1080p at 60 frames per second. So, you know, and that some of the bugs affecting lag have been eliminated from that were in previous titles.
Good.
So, I think it's looking pretty good there.
Hmm. What do we got here? E3 PC Gaming Show. Add 10 more developers. Now, Arianet, Creative Assembly, Nexon, and others have been confirmed for the first ever E3 PC Gaming event.
Yeah.
Now, this thing just keeps on growing, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Now, this week, the organizers announced 10 new developers that will appear during the event in some form, including Guild Wars developer Arianet and Total War Studios Creative Assembly. Now, the full list of the newly confirmed developers is Arianet, also known for Guild Wars, CCP Games, known for EVE Online, Creative Assembly for Total War Alien Isolation, Fulbright for Gone Home, Frictional Games for Soma, S-O-M-A, Frontier Developments from Elite Dangerous, Zoo Tycoon.
Yep, our friends over at Nexon, who I did Maple Story.
Nexon, there you go, Maple Story, which, ironically enough, Nexon is actually one of the developers for Dominations, the game that I've been playing on my phone.
Yeah.
So, great company right there. Pixel Titans from Strafe, SCS Software from Euro Truck Simulator, and Splash Damage from Dirty Bomb and the rumored Gears of War remaster.
Yeah.
Now, the first ever PC gaming show at E3 will be held on Tuesday, June 16th at 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Savings Time. Now, it's being put on by chipmaker AMD and PC Gamer magazines that will be held at the Belasco Theater in Los Angeles. So,
yeah.
If you want more information on that, definitely go Google it. Check it out.
Definitely makes sense.
Pretty much find any information you can.
Definitely makes sense that AMD is involved in this. That's something right up their alley.
Absolutely.
You know, you don't really see Intel getting involved when it comes to gaming so much.
Not too much, no.
A little bit, but not much. And then we've got the NES.
Yes.
It's going to be getting its own museum exhibit to celebrate its 30th anniversary.
Which makes sense. I mean, that thing is.
I know. What crazy.
Legendary.
So, it was released in North America 30 years ago in 1985. To mark this milestone, the video game museum, The Strong, has announced that it will host a special exhibit dedicated to the system later this year. The exhibit is being jointly produced by the Strong and the Ritsumo Meiken University in Kyoto, Japan. So, I mean, this is going to be some pretty epic. I mean, as you know, Japanese is home to a rich history of video game culture, pioneering companies such as Japan, says Nintendo and Sony. Partnership allows for cross-cultural exchange of ideas about how best to chronicle and conserve this important history, according to John Paul C. Dyson, who is the director at The Strong. The exhibit will be called Playing with Power, 30 Years of Nintendo Entertainment System.
Now you're playing with power.
Ooh, yeah. They will also be teaming up to share research projects, while staff from both organizations may trade places as part of an exchange program. Hey, it sounds pretty fun.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. Let's see. We're gonna move on. While that was extremely interesting, you've got something here that makes me scratch my head a bit.
I know.
Now, if you guys are familiar with, you know, tabletop games, board games, especially some of the older games like Scrabble, Scrabble in general has been very high into, you know, dictionary entries.
Yeah.
If it's not in the dictionary, if it's not in, like, Webster's dictionary, it's not allowed in the game. Period.
Yep.
However, the Scrabble dictionary, which obviously trumps Webster's because it's the own games dictionary, added a couple new words here. They added noob, N-E-W-B, pawn, P-W-N, and lolz, L-O-L-Z. And lolz is now worth 13 points.
Yeah. They also added waw, W-A-H-A, I mean W-H-H.
W-A-H-H.
Yeah.
To express wailing. And it's worth 10 points. Now, pawn, meaning to dominate opponent, is worth 8 points. Thanks, T-H-A-N-X, which is only one letter shorter than thanks, traditionally thanks, is worth 15 points, which I believe might actually be more than thanks.
What?
And lulz is worth 13 points, and it's laugh at someone else or at someone else's own expense.
I don't know.
If you're interested in seeing exactly what, you know, Collins put into the official Scrabble Word Dictionary, go ahead and look it up. But
I don't. I don't want to live on this planet anymore.
That's just stupid. That's just stupid.
Yeah, I don't understand it myself.
Anyway, on to something more interesting.
Yes, so we all know that there's been some issues with the latest Doom coming out. It has been confirmed that we are getting another Doom. It's been back and forth over the last several years as to exactly what's going on. However, Bethesda has released a very short teaser for Doom.
Wait. It's Bethesda.
Okay.
It's okay. It's alright. Yeah. Bethesda. No, Fallout.
Yeah.
Skyrim. No, the Elder Scrolls series.
I know. Okay. I say things differently sometimes.
That, yeah.
So we know that it's coming, and that they will be talking about it on their E3 showcase on June 14th. The Doom beta that we were expecting is supposed to be going out for those of us that pre-ordered Wolfenstein The New Order, but, you know, that never seems to have happened yet. We don't know how that's going to work out in the long run. So hopefully we will still get a beta somehow, but I'm not really counting on it. But I am excited to see that Doom is coming back. The little bit of imaging that they show you, which is about 3 seconds of gameplay, does look pretty darn awesome. But I kind of reserve my reservations to see what the game looks like in total once we get, you know, full-on gameplay options for us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So what else can we got here? We've got, we can talk about Supergirl.
We could. Talk a little bit about Supergirl.
So as you may know, there's a Supergirl TV series coming to ABC, I think it was.
NBC?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was, or was it CBS? No, CBS. That's right. It's gonna be CBS. And basically, what we had learned was that there was a teaser trailer to kind of show what it was gonna be like, and then we found out that it really didn't go over that well. So it appears that CBS or Warner Brothers or DC or whoever was in charge has leaked the pilot episode to the internet. And it is, if you do your searching very, very carefully, you'll find it full 1080p, I mean, high resolution, really nice looking. And I actually sat down and watched it earlier today.
Nice.
I was partially impressed. It looks like it has a lot of potential. Most of what you see in that pilot episode, if you watch the extended trailer, you've pretty much seen it all.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that. There's some new stuff in there, too. My only real drawback is that it has a bit of a cheesiness to it, which, you know what? Okay, I understand. There's going to be some of that in there. It is Supergirl, after all. There always has been. Character-wise, it's very close. You know, we're still trying to get used to the whole Jimmy Olsen change. But overall, it's got potential.
Yeah.
And I'm really looking forward to seeing, you know, how that works out.
Now, in case you guys didn't know, Disney has achieved a mile mark. It is their 60th anniversary for Disneyland. Now, that's huge, because if you guys are familiar with the different anniversaries for marriage and stuff like that, 60 is the diamond anniversary. Now, for their diamond anniversary, today, May 22nd, they held a 24-hour opening.
Ooh.
So, those of you who went there, 24 hours of Disneyland. 6 a.m. to 6 a.m.
Wow.
That is huge. They also debuted their latest installment in the new parades that they have, which is the Electric Parade. It's actually returning. It's been on... they actually discontinued the Electric Parade many years ago. And they brought it back and they updated it. So it looks pretty, pretty legit. I mean, extremely bright. Lots of lights and LEDs and all kinds of cool hoo-has and, you know, stuff. But on top of all that, they have Fantasmic. They have a new World of Color. They even have fireworks that sync up to the parade.
Wow.
Now check this out. They're showing some movies at one of their most popular theaters. They have a theater in Disneyland, and it's a 4D theater. So not only does it pretty much everything's in 3D for you, but it also has water, air, scent, things kind of like it interacts with the person watching. They're showing the Avengers twice, and they're also showing Guardians of the Galaxy twice.
Nice.
In that theater with all the special effects.
Ooh.
Scent, air blowing,
wow.
Water mists.
Let's go.
It's going to be... I wish. But, unfortunately, they revealed earlier today that they are at maximum capacity.
Wow, not surprising.
Disneyland is at maximum capacity. They said if you wanted to return... Because normally you can leave the park and return the same day.
Yeah.
If you leave the park and you want to return, you needed to return by 1:30 p.m.
Wow.
Otherwise, you were getting turned away.
Yeah.
So, that's a shame for people who are looking to go after work and just chill there till 6 a.m. Yeah, not going to happen.
Yeah.
But Mimi and I, unfortunately, aren't going to be there today, obviously, because I'm here doing this podcast.
Yeah.
But we are going to be going tomorrow. They open up tomorrow at 9 a.m. We're going to be there.
Nice. Some other news here for you guys. Hasbro has officially revealed that one of their exclusives for Comic-Con this year will be a Devastator set.
Huh.
As you know, Transformers in the comics and the toy line is moving into what's called Combiner Wars. They're making some incredible toys that are highly articulated, and almost all of them are able to combine. So yeah. You're getting most of the Combiner sets coming back out now, as well as other characters that can combine with them.
Huh.
The Comic-Con exclusive one is in the classic G1 color scheme. So all green, purple. It looks pretty darn sweet with the images I've seen. So just pointing that out to you guys, that's coming here. Stan Lee has also got some news for you guys.
Ooh.
He is going to, they're going to be publishing Stan Lee's memoir in graphic novel form.
That is correct.
That is going to be sweet. I'm going to have to see if I can pick that up.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be collaborated with, of course, Stan Lee himself, artist Colleen Doran, and writer Peter David. An amazing, fantastic, incredible, a marvelous memoir. Other news here is the Invader Zim comic book coming to Comic-Con with an exclusive cover.
Huh.
I know my sister wants that.
Yeah.
And then, I guess lastly, I'll go ahead and talk about Loot Crate. I got my Loot Crate today. Popped it open briefly to take a good look at it. You get a... of course, the button was kind of cool. It actually shows... two figures shaking hands. One looks like it's Batman, kind of, you know, handshake, because it's got the spike on the side, like Batman would usually have. But you can't really say for sure. I'm not sure who the other one would be. The theme is Unite.
Would the other one be Superman?
No, I don't. Well,
it's got a blue sleeve.
It could be. Could be. Yeah.
Kind of hard to argue.
Yeah. Something Jason David Frank has been teasing for a while now coming to Loot Crate is a t-shirt that is a half and half of the Green Ranger and White Ranger.
Yep.
And it's
Japanese
writing everywhere. It actually looks pretty cool. I'm actually really happy about that.
It does. It actually looks pretty legit.
You got the daggers. I mean, everything. It's beautiful. It's a great design. We got the Marvel Ice Cube tray featuring our favorite heroes, including Iron Man, Captain America, Hulk, yep. The Thing.
What was that? Hulk's fist, Cap's shield. Iron Man's face, the Thing's face. Who's that? Is that Vision?
I think that's Vision in the corner.
Right here?
No, I think it's down in the other corner.
Is that Vision? Oh, it might be Vision.
Yeah. It's hard to say, but you know.
Huh.
We got the Avengers in there. That's good enough, right?
Yeah.
We have Team Fortress 2 collector set of four pins.
Nice.
Which are pretty cool. I've got Marvel shoelaces.
Huh.
Yeah, you know.
You gotta tie your shoes, right?
I'll put on my work shoes. Yeah.
Wow.
I got a Avengers Age of Ultron decal, which, nice. You know, I think I might actually go and put that on my car. I think that's a good idea.
Do it.
Yeah.
Do it!
We got a Rick and Morty 300-piece
puzzle.
The official Unite book from Loot Crate.
Mm-hmm.
A special Loot Crate edition of Mad called Unite the Stupid. A Loot Crate edition comic of Bravest Warriors, Tales from the Holojohn.
Huh.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what to expect with that. So, I don't know. I'm really excited about this Loot Crate. I think there's a lot of cool stuff in there. Looks really fun to me.
I might have to get on with that Loot Crate.
It's a great deal. You know, right now I'm on the month-to-month plan. I actually might switch to the entire year plan where I pay a year up front and save money per box that way. The drawback is I gotta put up like a, you know, 100 some odd, 200 bucks off the top, top, but you know.
Oh.
Yeah, but I also get money back based on what I've done in the past few months, like get like 20 bucks back or so.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's exciting. I'm really happy with it.
Nice.
Anything else you can think of, sir?
Nope. I think that's all I've got.
All right. I think we're going to be out of here.
I think so, too. I think we're good to go with that. Now, like us on Facebook. Check out our actual main page. It's usually where we post our podcasts. yeah.
Yeah, so remember to go over to Facebook, check us out, hit up our website. We got new content coming soon. Yes, coming soon. Always cool stuff on Facebook we're posting for you guys, so check us out, spread the word, and yeah, keep on keeping on.
Yep. And now, Fidel, what do you have to say about that?
The hell is going on?
I don't know what you're saying.